الجنة لتبخر وتزين من الحول إلى الحول لدخول شهر رمضان، فإذا كانت أول ليلة من شهر رمضان هبت ريح من تحت العرش يقال لها المصيرة، فتصفق ورق الأشجار الجنان وحلق المصارع، فيسمع لذلك طنين لم يسمع السامعون أحسن منه، فتبرز الحور العين حتى يقفن بين شرف الجنة فينادين هل من خاطب إلى الله، فيزوجه ثم يقن الحور العين يا رضوان الجنة ما هذه الليلة، فيجيبهن بالتلبية ثم يقول هذه أول ليلة من شهر رمضان، فتحت أبواب الجنة للصائمين من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ويقول الله عز وجل يا رضوان افتح أبواب الجنان، ويا مالك أغلق أبواب الجحيم عن الصائمين من أمة أحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويا جبريل اهبط إلى الأرض فاصفد مرضة الشياطين غلهم بالأغلال ثم اقذفهم في البحار حتى لا يفسد على أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، أمة محمد حبيبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صيامهم. قال ويقول الله عز وجل في كل ليلة من شهر رمضان لمناد ينادي ثلاث مرات، هل من سائل فأعطيه سأله، هل من تائب فأتوب عليه، هل من مستغفر فأغفر له، من يقرض الولي غير المعدوم والوفي غير الظلوم. قال ولله عز وجل في كل يوم من شهر رمضان عند الإفطار ألف ألف عتيك من النار كلهم قد استوجبوا النار، فإذا كان آخر يوم الشهر رمضان أعتق الله في ذلك اليوم بقدر ما أعتق من أول الشهر إلى آخره، وإذا كانت ليلة القدر يأمر الله عز وجل جبريل فيهبط في كبكبة من الملائكة ومعه لواء أخضر، فيركز اللواء على ظهر الكعبة وله مئة جناح منها جناحان لا ينشرهما إلا في تلك الليلة، فينشرهما في تلك الليلة فيجاوز المشرق إلى المغرب، فيحث جبريل عليه السلام الملائكة في هذه الليلة فيسلمون على كل قائم وقائم مصلي وذاكر، ويصافحونهم ويؤمنون على دعائهم حتى يطلع الفجر، فإذا طلع الفجر ينادي جبريل يا معشر الملائكة الرحيل الرحيل، فيقولون يا جبريل فما صنع الله في حوائج المؤمنين من أمة أحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيقول نظر الله إليهم في هذه الليلة فعافى عنهم إلا أربة، فقلنا يا رسول الله منهم؟ قال رجل مدمن خمر وعاق لوالديه وقاطع رحم ومشاحن، قلنا يا رسول الله من المشاحن؟ مشاحن قال هو المصالم، فإذا كانت ليلة الفطر سميت تلك الليلة ليلة الجائزة، فإذا كانت غداة الفطر بعث الله عز وجل ملائكة في كل بلاد فيهبطون إلى الأرض فيقولون على أفواه السكك، فينادون بصوت يسمع من خلق الله عز وجل إلا الجن والإنس، فيقولون يا أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أخرجوا إلى رب كريم يعطي الجزيل ويعفو عن العظيم، فإذا برزوا إلى مصلاهم فيقول الله عز وجل للملائكة ما جزاء الأجير إذا عمل عمله؟ قال فتقول الملائكة إلهنا وسيدنا جزاؤه أن توفي أجره، قال فيقول فإني أشهدكم يا ملائكتي أني قد جعلت ثوابهم من صيامهم شهر رمضان وقيامهم من رضائي ومغفرتي، ويقول يا عبادي سألوني فعزتي وجلالي لا تسألون اليوم شيئا في جمعكم لآخرتكم إلا أعطيتكم ولا لدنياكم إلا نظرت لكم، فوعزتي لأسترن عليكم أثراتكم ما راكبتموني، وعزتي وجلالي لا أخزيكم ولا أفضحكم بين أصحاب الحدود، فانصرفوا مغفورا لكم قد أرضيتموني ورضيت عنكم، فتفرح الملائكة وتستبشر بما يعطى الله عز وجل هذه الأمة إذا أفطروا من شهر رمضان كذا في الترغيب. Hadith number 4, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, they heard our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Jannah, paradise, is made fragrant with the sweetest perfumes in Ramadan. From the very beginning of the year till the end, it is brightly decorated for the coming of this blessed month. And when the first night of Ramadan appears, a wind blows from beneath the Arsh throne, it is called Muthira, and causes the leaves of the trees of Jannah to rustle and door handles to vibrate, thus giving forth such a melodious sound as had never been heard before. The dark-eyed damsels of Jannah then step forth till they appear in the center of the balconies of Jannah, exclaiming, is there anyone praying to Allah for us that Allah may join us in marriage with them, with him? Then these damsels call out, O Ridwan, keeper of Jannah, what night is this? He replies, Labbaik, it is indeed the first night of Ramadan, when the doors of Jannah are open for those who observe the fast from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu further said, Allah says, O Ridwan, open the doors of Jannah, and O Malik, keeper of Jahannam, close the doors of Jahannam for those who fast from amongst the Ummah of the Prophet Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Jibreel, proceed down to the earth and blind all the rebellious shayateen, put them in chains, cast them in the ocean, so that they make no mischief to spoil the fast of the Ummah of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah commands a caller from the heavens to call out three times on every night, every one of the nights of Ramadan. Is there anyone begging of me that I may grant him his desire? Is there anyone repenting to me that I may turn into mercy, in mercy to him? Is there anyone begging my forgiveness that I may forgive him? Who is there who should give a loan to the one whose wealth does not diminish, and the one who duly pays back without any deductions? Rasulullah said further, every day at the time of iftar, Allah sets free 1,000 such souls from the fire of Jahannam who had previously been found deserving Jahannam. On the last night, He sets free as many more as had been set free throughout the month. On the night of Laylatul Qadr, Allah commands Jibreel salatu wasalam to descend to the earth with a large number of group of malaika. They descend carrying a green flag, which is then planted on the top of the Kaaba. Jibreel salam himself has 100 wings, two of which are spread out on this night only. He spreads out these two wings so that their width extends from the east to the west. Jibreel salatu wasalam then sends out the malaika, the angels, in all directions to offer salutations to anybody they find standing in prayer or sitting, performing salah, or celebrating the praise of Allah. They shake hands with them and say Ameen to all their prayers, duas, until dawn. When dawn comes, Jibreel salatu wasalam calls out, depart malaika of Allah, depart. The malaika then inquire of Jibreel, what did Allah do regarding the needs that the faithful ones from amongst the Ummah of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put before him? Jibreel salatu wasalam replies, Allah looked at them with mercy, pardoned them all, except four kinds of people. Thereupon, we, the Sahaba al-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, inquired, who are they? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, they are the ones who are addicted to wine, those who are disobedient to their parents, those who cut themselves off from their relatives, near relatives, and those who harbor ill will against their fellow beings and break off relationships with them. And then the night of Eid al-Fitr, the night that is called Laylatul Jaizah, the night of prize giving, comes along. On the morning of Eid, Allah sends down the malaika to all the lands of the earth, where they take their positions on all the streets and lanes, calling out with a voice that is heard by all except men and jinn, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come forth from your houses towards the Lord, who is noble and gracious, who grants abundantly and pardons the major sins. When they proceed for the Eid Salah, Allah says to the malaika, what indeed is the reward of the employee who has rendered full service? The malaika reply, O our Lord and Master, it is only right that he should receive the reward in full for his services. Allah then says, I call you to witness, O my malaika, O my angels, that for their having fasted for me during the month of Ramadan, and for their having stood before me in prayer by night, I have granted to them a reward of my pleasure and have granted them forgiveness. O my servants, ask now of me, for I swear by my honor and greatness that whatsoever you shall beg of me this day in this assembly of yours for the needs of your hereafter, I shall grant you. And whatever you shall ask me for your worldly needs, I shall grant what is to your advantage. By my honor do I swear, as long as you shall obey my commandments, I shall cover up your faults. By my honor and by my greatness do I swear that I shall never disgrace you in front of the transgressors and disbelievers. Return now from here. You are forgiven. You have indeed pleased me, and I am pleased with you. The Malaika, on seeing this great reward bestowed upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Eid, become greatly pleased and happy. Oh Allah, make us also in those fortunate ones. Ameen. Commentary. The previous pages of this book have already dealt with most of what is contained in this long hadith. A few points need further attention. We see here that a few people who are deprived of general forgiveness in Ramadan and are unfortunate indeed in not being able to get a share even on the morning of Eid. Among them are those who fight and quarrel among themselves and those disobedient to their parents. One may well ask them, "You have displeased Allah, and having done so, what other refuge do you have now?" We feel indeed sad that for some worldly gain or honor, you have made yourselves the target for the curse of Rasulullah and Jibreel salatu salam, while at the same time being excluded from Allah's freely granted forgiveness. You may have gained a temporary victory over your adversary and gained some worldly honor, but this short-lived gain will avail nothing when the Prophet's curse is on you, confirmed by Jibreel salatu salam, and you are being refused Allah's forgiveness and mercy. I implore you, my dear brothers and sisters, think about your position at this moment and desist from all your quarrels. There is still time to repair and repent today. Tomorrow you shall have to stand before a judge, before whom no rank nor honor, position or wealth shall avail you. A judge before whom only your actions shall count, and who is aware of your movement. Remember that Allah may forgive our failings as far as our relations with Him, yani hukukullah, is concerned, but will not forgive without equivalent penalty the transgressions in our relations with our fellow men, yani hukukul ibad. Rasulullah said, "The bankrupt of my ummah, from amongst my ummah, is that person who shall appear on the day of Qiyamah, bringing with him righteous deeds like a salat, sawm, fast and charity. But he had also sworn at someone, falsely accused someone else, hurt someone, with the result that all these people should come forward with complaints against him, bearing witness against him. As a penalty, his good deeds shall be taken away and given to the injured one. And when his good deeds are exhausted in this manner, their sins shall be loaded upon him. When he is not able to pay the full penalty through lack of good deeds, because of this load, he shall enter Jahannam." So we see that in spite of many good deeds, he shall be in great despair. O Allah, save us from that. Ameen. Another point is worth emphasizing in this connection, in these pages, is that we have mentioned various occasions and needs through which forgiveness comes. A question may arise that when forgiveness is being granted, why should it be granted time and again? In other words, once a person has been forgiven, then there's no sins left on him, so why is forgiveness granted again? The answer to this is that when forgiveness is granted to a person with a load of sins upon him, those sins are wiped away, but if he has no sins, then Allah's mercy and grace descends upon him. A further interesting point to note is that Allah repeatedly calls the Malaika to bear witness to his granting forgiveness. The reason is that the conduct of affairs at the time of reckoning in Qiyamah has been laid down such that witnesses shall be brought forward to testify. Hence, the Prophets, Rasul, shall be required to bring witnesses as to whether they had delivered the message. Accordingly, very often our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, "Verily you shall be asked about me and my mission, so bear witness that I did deliver the message." In Bukhari, we read a hadith on the day of Qiyamah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam shall be called and asked, "Did you deliver the message in the proper manner?" He shall reply, "Yes, I did." Then his ummah shall be asked, "Did he deliver my commandments?" They shall reply, "Ma ja'ana min bashirin wala nadhir." "No, neither did a bringer of glad tidings come to us, nor a warner." Thereupon Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam shall be asked to bring a witness. He shall call upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This ummah shall be called forward and they shall testify as to the truth of Nuh alayhi salam's evidence. In some versions of this hadith, this ummah shall be cross-questioned. "How do you know that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did deliver commands of Allah when you were not present at that time?" They shall reply, "Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us of that, and the true book revealed to him, the Quran, informed us of that." In this same manner, all the ummahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam shall be questioned. For this reason, the Quran Kareem says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Thus we made you an ummah justly balanced,
that you might stand witness over the nations. Imam Razi rahmatullahi writes, on the day of judgment, Qiyamah, there should be four types of witnesses. A, the malaika, the angels. The Quran says, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And there will come forth every soul, with each will be our angels to bear witness. Not a word does he utter, but there is a sentinel by him ready to note. But verily over you are appointed angels to protect you, kind and honorable, writing down your deeds, that they know and understand all that you do. B. The Prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Quran says, وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ. And I was a witness over them while I dwelt among them. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And how should it be when we will bring forth every nation with its witness, and shall bring you forth, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness over these, the ummahs. See, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the following verse refers to this, وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. The prophets and the witnesses will be brought forward. D, the part of man's body. Thus the Quran states, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَرَجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That day shall we set a seal on their mouths, but their hands will speak to us and their feet will bear witness to all that they did. To be brief, all these verses indicate bearing witness on the Day of Judgment of all those mentioned therein. The last hadith in the discussion also brings out a joyous message. Allah says that He shall not disgrace and humiliate His dutiful servants in front of and among the unbelievers and evildoers. Is not that in itself a great favor to the seekers of His goodwill, that He shall hide their faults and not reveal these to others? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah said, on the Day of Judgment, Qiyamah, Allah shall call a believer to draw near and drop a curtain so that no one else may see. Allah shall then remind him of each and every evil deed and transgression of his, which he shall be obliged to admit. Seeing the great number of sins, that person shall feel that he indeed is bound to perish. But then Allah shall say, in the world, I did cover up your faults, and today also I hide them and forgive them. Thereafter his books of good deeds shall be given to him. The contents of this hadith are found in many other hadith, also that faults of those who obey Allah and seek His pleasure are forgiven. One shall therefore be careful of not humiliating and attacking the righteous ones for their faults, lest we may be the real losers through backbiting and jeering at those who in their own manner seek to please Allah, who may cover up their faults and forgive them through the blessings of their other good deeds, while we, who continue to backbite, scoff and jeer at them, may be causing our own destruction. May Allah in His mercy pardon us all. This hadith also states that the night before the day of Eid is called the night of prize giving, Jaizah, and the night when Allah gives reward to His servants, who shall also properly value this night. It is usual that once an announcement is made that next day is Eid, the majority of us, including the good Muslims, feel fatigued because of Ramadan and prefer on this night to enjoy rest and sleep, whereas this too is a valuable night that should be spent in Ibadah. Rasulullah said, whoever stays awake for Ibadah on the night preceding either Eid, either Fitr, either Adha, with the aim of gaining reward, his heart shall not die on the day when heart shall wither. The meaning here is that at the time when evil will have overpowered everybody, his heart shall stay alive, guarded against evil at the time of fitna. It may also be perhaps referred to the time when the trumpet shall be blown to hold the Day of Judgment, Qiyamah, and that day his soul shall not become unconscious. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, whoever stays awake for prayers, ibadah, on the following nights shall enter Jannah, Laylatul Tarweeha, the night after the 7th Zilhijjah, Laylatul Arafah, the night after the 8th Zilhijjah, Laylatul Nahr, the night after the 9th day of Zilhijjah, the night preceding Eid al-Fitr, and the night preceding the 15th of Shaban. The jurists of Islam, the Fuqaha, have written that it is mustahab, desirable to remain in prayers, ibadah, on the nights of both Eid. Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, is reported to have said that prayers are answered on the nights of Friday, the night after the day of Thursday, the night before the two Eids, and on the night preceding the 15th of Shaban. Some divines have said that because of the exceptional greatness of Friday night, one should spend this night in Ibadah during the month of Ramadan. But there are some hadith wherein we are prohibited from fixing only that night for Ibadah. It is best that one or two other nights should be joined with it. I have now come to the end of this book, and in conclusion, hope that this shall be of benefit to those who seek Allah's pleasure. I beg and implore all readers to pray for me, the humble writer of these pages, during those special hours of acceptance in Ramadan. Do mention me too in your prayers, and Allah may in His infinite grace and mercy also bestow His grace and pleasure upon me. Ameen. Shaykh Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakaria Qandri, 27th night of Ramadan, 1349 Hijri. So alhamdulillah, we finished for Zayn Ramadan, Allah enable us to act upon. First of all, our Akabir Mashaykh were very scrupulous, very had great taqwa, and they would be very cautious in using waqaf and taking from waqaf. My father-in-law, when he comes to Canada, because he's probably one of the closest persons in the world right now, if you were to ask the Khalifa, if you were to ask Sufi Iqbal, that I mentioned yesterday, about Sufi Iqbal, we read about him, sorry, if he'd say, Maulana Abdul Rahim is our king, because he was so close to the Shaykh Hadith. So they learned from their Shaykh. So he said that, I seen that when he stays at my house for 2-3 months, then when leaving, he would give $100 or $50 and say, put this in Masjid al-Taqwa. Lilla box. Put in the Lilla box, because sometimes I used to come and I used to use the water. Understand? While doing wazoo. So now, who can find a hotel or motel for 10 days? You get your food, you get your stay, you get water, you get electricity, and you pay nothing. Oh, Chalo, we paid $10, and that was even for our own benefit, that was for our food. And only $20 we spent. So I'm just encouraging that. Like we should, because we use extra fan, extra electricity. We've, you know, used the place and extra things. We use plates and bowls of the, you know, other things which were donated to the masjid, which is waqf, which we should have our own, or which we should have in our own accounts. We should have bought our own plates and things. Many, I don't know what the Muntazimin were doing, if they're using downstairs or were they bringing it. But it's always good that we pay for our own stuff. So like the way we sacrifice our time and our body and our other things, we should sacrifice some money. So in the least, right now what we do is collect $20, whatever a person wants to give. So if everybody gives $20, alhamdulillah, you can give more, whatever you want, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or go to the masjid. Lillah. Donation to the masjid. Understand? And that's nothing. $20 is really nothing. But if somebody wants to give more, they can give more. I'll try to give $20. Because that's nothing. If you say like $20, and you stay for 10 days anywhere in the world, you're not going to get supposed to stay 10 days. Not that the masjid or the committee or somebody told me to do this. It's just that we should. Okay. Put in here $20. Everybody said this is my $20. And then we'll write Masjid Taqwa Lillah. If you don't have, you can borrow from somebody and then give afterwards, inshallah. $20 minimum. If someone has to give more, they can give more. So people don't have cash, borrow it, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakat. You can give more. $20 is minimum we should give. Because even if you stay for $1, you're not going to get... even if you stay for one night somewhere, you're not going to get it one night for $20 with food. We didn't even have to pay for food, really, because we only took out $20. All through Ramzan. It's the masjid barakat that we got food. It's not our ibadat. It's a masjid barakat. The masjid, because of the blessing of the masjid, we got food. There was so much food for all of us. Understand? It's the masjid barakat. Allah's house barakat. I count it and then write it down. Yeah. How much?
480.
480?
Yeah.
How much? Oh, take it out. Take it. Get it right now, so it's done.
Take it.
I was making about at least 500 either. At least
60, 70. We got 80 so far.
You can borrow it. Rasulullah's sunnah is that if somebody came and Rasulullah didn't have it, he would borrow it. Bahut bade hai, doctor hai, borrow nahi karte. Sunnah of Rasulullah to borrow money and then pay back the person. Yeah, you're too big for it. Bank mein jaane ki koi zarurat nahi hai. Ye loan hi kahan se hai. Yesterday we read about our Qabr Mashaykh Islam. So some people, what Islam? When I was, after I graduated, and then I was in Medina Clean teaching for 2 years, so there used to be students, now they're all ulamas, these students. You know what kind of Islam they used to have? They have to do udbet, and they were in charge of younger students. So in front of younger students, 200 students, they have to do 50-50 udbets, up-down, in front of everybody. And not just that, sometimes you even get beatings. Understand? In front of everybody. So, yeah, but alhamdulillah, now they're all ulamas. So I go there. That time I was young and I was very, very jalali. So I used to be... And used to do that kind of Islam. I said, now people don't have the attitude of taking you in Islam. Understand? If a sheikh becomes a bit rough. Because, so the sheikh's mercy is, he sees according to the capacity of the person, and according to his capacity, the sheikh does his Islam. If the sheikh knows that this person, if I say something to him, and he shows takabbur, then what will happen to that person is he'll go right off. To such extent that you can go right off to off iman. And this comes where from? The adab of Shaykh Moody, the adab comes from the thing of Prophet ﷺ downwards. Rasulullah ﷺ, once he saw a sahabi with a ring on, he took the ring from his fingers off and he threw it and smashed it on the floor. And he said, if you want help, take this. Now if it's me and you, in front of everybody, is that the way to say something? Is this... Oh, you could have been nice. That was so mean. Oh, that's not... I mean, the person didn't know it's halal or haram. All these things. But look at the sahabi. Look at the sahabi. Because Rasulullah knew. And then there will be a sahabi, an Arabi, coming to the masjid. And when the sahabi was, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, shh, leave him. Leave him. Stop. Don't touch him. The ulamas explain why. Because now, if he starts running, and urine, the urine be more in the masjid. Another thing is when a person stops urine like that and he's desperate, it's bad for his health. So Rasulullah is thinking of his health. Rasulullah is thinking that more place. So Rasulullah, no, leave it now. And then afterwards Rasulullah called him and said, you know. Now he was a different, he didn't get mad at him. A person who started saying Yarhamukullah and Salat, Rasulullah didn't get mad at him. So but this person Rasulullah took his thing off, the Sahabis, and he threw it. If it was Siddiq Akbar or Umar al-Khattab, he would get mad. Because they stayed with me so long, so they're on that level. It's like, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at the Sahabi. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Rasulullah sallallahu walked away upset from him, and he threw his ring, and he said, if you want help, take this. He walked away. So then they gave mashwira. Mashwira, you know, something, of worth something. It's a gold ring, it's worth something. Or maybe in today's dollars, hundreds of dollars, right? So somebody said, give it to your women folk in the house, or sell it and use it. So you know what he said? Look at this, is the muhabbat, this is the love. They didn't have attitude, they didn't have takabbur. But what that which my beloved took off my finger and threw it, I'll never touch it again. I'll never touch it again. Why would I touch that ring where Rasulullah took it off? I hate it too. Not that, oh, why did he, I didn't know it's haram. So Rasulullah did Islam like that too. Yeah, I'll tell you a story. My father-in-law says, when I was in Zambia, he says, what are you people? He says to me, to us, well, you guys can't take Islam, even to me. He says, what Islam can you guys take? He goes, our Hazrat Shaykh, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, I told you of a person who Hazrat Shaykh, when he wanted to do any safar, he would tell him to go and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And usually he would do mukashafa. In mukashafa, he would talk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Abdul Hafiz. And in Makkah, him and his father were Hazrat Shaykh's driver everywhere. He's a very close Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, a very great senior Khalifa. So he had presented some chutney or achar or something to Hazrat Shaykh on the dastarkhan. On the dastarkhan, he presented achar or chutney, he gave it to him. So Hazrat Shaykh said, okay, put it here, jazakallah. Afterwards, he was on the dastarkhan too, and there was hundreds of people on the dastarkhan. Somebody went like this and he said, pass the chutney. Maulana Abdul Hafiz Sahib just gave it to Hazrat Shaykh as a hadiya, and now he just touched it like this. Hazrat Shaykh said, what is this? Like a dog who vomits and taking up his vomit again? You give it to me hadiah? Why did you give it to me hadiah if you wanted to use it again? What rights do you have to touch this thing of mine? You have no rights to touch it. Why do you touch it? Now, if it was me and you, oh, in front of all these people, and this is the person who sees the Prophet ﷺ for him. He knows that's his status. He's come from Makkah. He's left Makkah and come to India. Understand? He's a Makki. In front of everybody. And this is it. In the hadith, a person who gives a hadiah and he takes it back. Now, when I give a hadiah, when I've given atar to somebody, like this, and then I say to him that I take it and I say, I put it on other people, I have no rights. I have no rights to do tasarruf. I have no rights to have any thing over it that I can go and give it to somebody else. Yes, I can take permission from him that can you put on some atar to so and so? Understand? That could be. But I cannot. So, without permission, you took this, you touched this without permission. If you give it to me, then now if you've touched it, that means you've took it back. You took it back. And if you took it back, the hadith says that when you give a hadiah to somebody, you take it back. It's like a dog who vomits and he's licking up his vomit. So you did that. And now, if you haven't took it back, then what ihsan have you got upon me that you give me something and you haven't took it back, but what are you giving it to others for? It's my stuff. You think Hazrat Shaykh was a stingy guy? Like me or you? He could have been a millionaire if he got his copyrights done on his Fazal Amal kitabs. When people told him, okay, they're printing this kitab and this kitab of yours, you're the ones that you've printed, it's not going to get sold. He goes, you know what? My books will get sold, and I will also help to buy their books and to get their books sold. Allah. He could have been a millionaire if he wanted collected pennies. I mean, just got a penny copyright on the books. But this was a person. So, what do you think? You think he was very much interested in achar that? Islah. Understand? Of those people very close. And Maulana Abdul Hafiz was on that level to take Islah like that. If it was a newcomer, Hazrat Shaykh won't do Islah like that. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to some sahabi, he would do Islah like this. Understand? So now, yesterday we read this, Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri said to Maulana Ibrahim, the shafqat that you show me and that you don't do my Islah or this and that, I feel very much scared that am I not, you don't love me in that? And really, a Mawlid should feel scared. If the shaykh cannot do your islah in front of everybody, that means you have takabbur. And it is the shaykh's mercy that he does not do your islah in front of everybody. Why? Because if you show takabbur, it's very detrimental for you. Very, very detrimental for you. Understand? Very detrimental. I told you the story of my shaykh. I went, and he used to go to, on Saturdays, we get Saturday and Sunday off. Saturday after 12 o'clock, we get off. So we, from the Arulumbari, we go down to Ram's Bottom. It's about 15-20 minutes walking distance, about half a mile away. And then it's called Quick Save and Fine Frame, that we used to go shopping and that. So on Saturday, knock on Hazrat's door to ask his wife, ask Hazrat, is there any shopping to be done? And then we used to bring it up. We didn't have no car or anything, so we walked all the way down. So it was my habit. So I went and I knocked on the door like this. Just like this. Exactly like this. Not even like this. Not even like this, but like this. This is the way. Because I know Hazrat's ears are very strong. So I done it once. My friends was, you know, Sheikh Riyaz al-Haq used to come here and on the Youth W conference, him and Maulvi Ahmed Desai. They were my classmates. Sheikh Riyaz al-Haq was 1 year ahead of me. So we were going together. I always used to have good company, alhamdulillah. So we're going together to Ram's Bottom. So they said, knock hard. I said, no, Hazrat here. So second time I knocked. And the third time I made intention that I'm going to knock like this once more. And three times it says in the hadith and walk away. So as I knocked the third time, my Sheikh answered the door. Right? And he had a bandage on his head. When he used to have a headache, he used to have a bandage like. And he said this, "Tujhe pata nahi ke teen martaba khatkana chahiye." This is the way he screamed. Exactly like this. Like this. This is the way Hazrat Rashid. And he just thing. So he started off like that. And he said, "Pagal kaise? Mera dil mera darwaza tod raha hai. Nikal jaa yahan se. Bhag jaa yahan se." I couldn't even say, "Hazrat, do you need anything for shop?" So it was. And my friends, Maulvi Ahmad and Maulvi Riyad, are laughing. They're laughing, they're also scared. Because when Hazrat got mad, he gets scared. But they're also laughing, the poor guy. So next day, so that's what Hazrat, this is Islam. Understand? So next day, I think I was in Erbi Dome or Erbi Son. So it was a Sunday. Now Sunday is a free day. But now if Hazrat wants, he can take out a class, you know, to work. Maybe do some digging up, doing some gardening and that. So on purpose, he knew I was in Erbi Dome. I think I haven't, I don't think I started even, I think I was in Erbi Dome or Erbi Som. I think we did have Quran Tarjuma with him. I don't know if I was a student of his yet or not. But he said, he told my class to stand up. Not, he didn't say my name, but he said, this class stand up. Because he knew that I was in that class. And then when we went out to work, he goes, he looks, and he goes, this guy here. This guy came from Canada, and I thought he had some brains in him. He's in Urdu, he's speaking Urdu. But he's an idiot. Yesterday, you know what he done? And he's telling everybody, yesterday I had a migraine headache, severe headache. And he come to my door and he broke down my door yesterday. He broke down my door. And he was just like, that was my husband's tawajju. Now that is severe. Right? But it was my husband's tawajju that he had some tawajju on me that I didn't have no takabbur. Or no, nothing. I just felt, you know, I just felt that alhamdulillah, at least Hazrat called us to work and Hazrat's not upset with me in his heart. If he was upset with me in his heart, he won't even look at me. But alhamdulillah, he's telling everybody off, he's telling it. So alhamdulillah, I know that he's not upset with me in his heart. Okay, you know, yesterday I really hurt his, he had a headache and that. So that, and then, that's the way. Now, he broke down my door yesterday. Halakha not like this, is true. And then you remember, so this is the Islam. So that's one time. And there was other times, you know, but this was the greatest Islam. Then. So, in front of everybody. And I thought, words he used. I thought this Canadian to have some brains in him, to be intelligent. But he turns out to be an idiot. Understand? So what Canada? You think you're from Canada. You guys think big Niagara Falls, big this, big country. So you think you're big. But you're not big. Understand? So this is the way Hazrat used to do Islam. Alhamdulillah. But I tell you still, my father-in-law even still tells this guy, you guys have nafs in you. You know, in front of our hazards, hundreds of ulama, hundreds of shaykh al-hadith, hundreds of thousands of people. You over here, look at this. This is only a little gathering, but thousands of people in front of them. And if you tell off somebody, oh, everybody's looking at me. And you think you're a little bit khususi, or you think you're a little bit... Then Islam is never done. Understand? When you go to a doctor, and you're a doctor, you know, when you go to a doctor, you tell him, sometimes a doctor, you say, you have something on your private part, inflammation or something. He might say, I want to see it, I have to see it. Then according to that, he gives you medicine. So you have to show it to him.
Do you show your private part to everybody? Understand? So today, you guys in English, big tahajjud, big, put your head down so much. Where are you really? Understand? It's not just zahiri, it's that heart. Understand? It takes years of that heart. It's not zahiri, put your head down and cry and this and that. It's, yeah, alhamdulillah, all that is important too, but really it's that. Understand? So all these diseases of the heart, understand? Zina, it's not disease of the heart. To steal, that's not a disease of the heart. Understand? These are not diseases of the heart. The diseases of the heart is takabbur, to hate somebody, to be jealous of somebody. All these, and we're full of these things. Understand? And takabbur, I said, is ummul amraz, the mother. You know, Shaykh Abu Sayyid, when he went to his Shaykh, Shaykh Nizamuddin. Right? Now, Shaykh Nizamuddin, his Shaykh, got ijazat from his grandfather's murid. His grandfather, Shaykh Abu Sayyid's grandfather, was Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangoi. That was his grandfather. And Shaykh Nizamuddin had ijazat from his murid. And he's that meaning, so now Shaykh Nizamuddin has found out that Abu Sayyid Gangoi is coming from Gango. Gango is my peer grandfather's city and village in India, and he's coming from there to Nizamuddin. And so with big, you know, with all his murids, hundreds, he comes out with istiqbal that my sheikh's grandson, I mean my sheikh's grandson is coming. So with all respect, and he thing and gives him a lavish feast and everything. This, so then when he stays there and he's respect him and everything, he says to him, I have come here. Shaykh Abu Sayyid Gangoi said to him, Shaykh Nizamuddin, I have come here for that thing which you took from my family, you know, my grandfather, you need purification. He said, you come for that. Then, okay. He said, go, take this guy out, get him out of here. Put him in the stable where the hunting dogs and the hunting horses are. Put him there, and all your job is to make sure they're fed properly and that's it, get out. You're not even allowed to come to the zikr majlis, there, go. Take him there. So he told some khadim, put him there, bus. He was locked up in there, and he used to get one roti per day. And all he had to do is make sure the horses are fed and everything. That's his job. Nothing. After some time, he saw, after 2-3 months of this state, and now he's becoming skinny, he said to the toilet cleaner, they have these toilet cleaners that clean up the two feces and that, in India, Bungi, that when you pass by today, you know, nudge him a little. When you go, just nudge him a little. So when she passed by, she nudged him. So he looked at this and he said, "Oh, you're lucky. This is the place of my sheikh. If it was Gango, I would give you a lesson." So, and when the bungi went to sheikh said, "Okay, what did you do? Did you do what I told you?" "Yeah, I went and I nudged him a little. I had the toilet then." "Did he say anything?" "Yes, he said, and his eyes came red too, and he was angry." So he said, "Okay." He still thinks he's a grandson. He needs more scrubbing. Another 2-3 months of that scrubbing. Understand? Still kept him there. He didn't even have the rights to come into Sheikh's majlis. He can't even come to Sheikh's majlis, and you know, like the majlis we have, or zikr, nothing. You just do that. That's all you have to do. Nothing else. Because why? He comes from a very high family. Understand? So now, after that, Sheikh, after some time, he said to the bungi, "Now this time when you go by, to not just nudge him a little, but also throw a little bit of feces on him." Understand? Just throw a little bit of feces. The first time, just nudge him a little. And on that nudge, he became very angry. Now this time, you don't just nudge him, but also a little bit of feces, drop it on him. So, yeah. And then when he came back, what happened? Yes, this time he didn't speak anything. This time he didn't say anything. He stayed quiet. But he had a little bit of expression. Oh, okay. He's still the couple there. Then after some months, now he's become totally skinny. And roti, and one roti, and nothing. He said, "Now, when you pass by him, take the whole, you know, bucket of feces and throw it on him, toilet. Or just pretend that you smell." So when he was walking by, he pretend that he slipped all over him. So he started, sorry. "Don't tell Sheikh I got in your way." And he started cleaning up, helping him. And then he said, "Sorry. I'm very sorry I was in the way." So then, when he told the Shaykh, now he's polished. So then he said to him the next day, "Hey, Abu Sa'id, we're going hunting. Get the hunting dogs ready." And the Shaykh is on a horseback. The other Muris on the horseback. Going hunting. And as they went hunting, and this person is roti, is becoming weak, and as the dog sees the hunt, they start heading. And 3-4 dogs. So he couldn't take care. So he started tying the dog's leashes around his thing. And they're pulling him, bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. That night, Sheikh Nizamuddin sees Sheikh Abdul Qaddus Gongoi and his sheikh, and he says to him, "You had the rights as a sheikh to scrub him even more. You had the rights to scrub him even more because he was your murid. He was your amanat. But I didn't scrub you like the way you scrubbed him." Understand? The next day he called him, he hugged him, he gave him ijazah, "Go back to Gongol, you're complete to give, you know, khilafat." So this is the way Islah was done. And then Islah is the takabbur umul amraz. It's very, very delicate. This is the thing that took shaitan away. Understand? Takabbur, ujb, and hasad. Istakbara wa kana min al-kafir. Ujb. Oh, I should be worshipped. I should be bowed down to not. And takabbur, I am big, I am great. He is nothing. So this comes out after very much scrubbing. Understand? There's a little bit of tension. Over here you see a lot of shafqat. Understand? In here. But then when some, you know, I have a lot of munafiqat, and they say something in their heart, they're not really meaning it, but they say, "Yeah, we need it, we need this." I hope it's very true from your heart that you say you need it. If you really need it, then when you're going to get it, you better take it. Understand? The people yesterday, they had a concern. They had a concern that, yeah, Sheikh doesn't. You know why? That is a big concern. I said, "Do indeed worry about it. Indeed worry about it. That if I'm not telling you off in front of everybody, that means you have pride in you. And you're not on that level. You're not on that level." Maulana Abdul Jalil, he's grew up with me here, he's a Maulana. In fact, his masla, what he gives masla for, I start acting upon it. He asks me at the beginning of the "Do I do kinwat? Or do I sit in atikaf?" I said, "Every year you're doing kinwat. This year you sit in atikaf with me, and people should do your kinwat alim." But he grew up with me, so in front of everybody I tell him off. He's an alim. This guy knows more than you lot. But why he's come to that level? Maulana Abdul Jalil, full ma jao. Dimag sila rakho. Oto, you know. So what happens is that a person comes on that level as due to Islam. If a person, so when the Shaykh cannot tell you anything, you have a very bad disease. Understand? This is why before bayt, I tell people to istikhara. Read the adabs. Because once you're amana, then you're amana. Understand? I don't like to go around getting murids. Three brothers have told me in this Ramzan right now, they want to get bait. I send them back, do istikhara, read this. But even if they still desire, their ikhlas, Allah will take them. Even though I am nothing. But you're going to get it through. Hazrat Sheikh Saharanpuri, Hazrat Mani Ilyasab Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh Saharanpuri said, that look, we're like a tap. The Shaykh is like a tap. The more you open the tap, you're going to get. Understand? But you're going to get water through the tap. So you're going to get those for you through the Shaykh. But you're going to... So it's something that, but a person has to know that. Okay, what are the adabs of the Shaykh? What is this? Okay, so if a person has that, and if the Shaykh sees that this person is not ripe for me to say something in front of someone, because then he might have an attitude. Yeah, he might mouth off. Because you think, you know, when my Shaykh sent me to Medina, 200 students, 24 hours, from the time before Fajr, I used to wake them up, and I used to sleep at 1:30 at night after putting everybody to sleep. 24 hours with 200 students. And from what age? From the age of 10 to the age of 21. I was only 26 or something like that, at that 10. So my Shaykh made me in charge of the Medina. So the nafs, and you know, the doctors have seen the how people are, this and that. So a person sees that. And I tell you, wallahi, those students were ajeeb. They had abdiyat in them. They were told, a person couldn't even walk in front of me without me making a comment. And why? Just this, that when they go to Darul Uloom, they'll be ready for Hazrat. They'll be very happy. all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even my uncle, who I have ijazah from, he said, Zakaria, and this is nothing but whatever I got was through the blessing of my teachers and my parents. The dua. That's only the way you get something. My sheikh, obvious. I used to, when my sheikh in the last year, when I used to sit in front of my sheikh, I told you about, you know, you guys, I have to do talim in English. I used to sit for 1 hour talim in my sheikh's majlis, even before I was bait, and even when I was bait, I didn't understand one word of Urdu. I just used to look at sheikh's face, because it's the heart to heart. I didn't understand Urdu. Understand? You give him Canada, but just the thing. I used to sit in zikr majlis even before I got bait to my sheikh. And this is the love, muhabbat. Right? All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my uncle, I grew up in his house. And from the age of 12, he came to Manchester airport to get me. And now, even though I wasn't worthy, Allah puts me in the house. My father-in-law is, ask any khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, of his 105 khalifas, many have passed away, who is one of the greatest khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh right now in the world. They'll say two, my Shaykh and my father-in-law. Alhamdulillah. Even now, they say damad. Damad, if you spell it the other way, damad means son-in-law. Son-in-law. So if you spell damad like this, dal, alif, mim, alif, dal. And spell it backwards, it becomes dal, alif, mim, alif, dal. So I'm damad. No matter what, even tera, tobi damad. So my father-in-law's tawajju is on me, even though I'm be the most evil. Even if I'm the biggest shaitan. Because why? My daughter's success, my things. So his tawajju and dua is always on me. Alhamdulillah, my sheikh's tawajju dua, my uncle's. Right now we're doing chanda for the Ulum Jogar. You know, my uncle who brought me up in that. What it is, and wallahi al-azim, I have nothing but my asatizah's tawajju dua and my sheikh and my other, these akabir mashaykh's dua and tawajju. That's it. Mawlana Mazhar Alam, he came. Wallahi, I feel so shame. I was there at the back room. He came. And he knew it was Ramadan. So he goes, no, I only came to do mulaqah. I quickly stood up. I had to hug him. And he said, no, I only came to do mulaqah with you. I'm going. Because he knew because it was Ramadan. So I quickly gave him some ajwa in that. And then when Mawlana Muhammad Alam came, then I sent him some hadiyah in that. But meaning, a buzruk like that. And he came to my... I felt so guilty. And then we should be going to him. He's as a Sheikh's Khalifa. What it is even that shafqat, even that nazar and that love that he came. The Grand Mufti of, mashallah, of Devan. She's the Grand Mufti. When I went, he goes, 5-6 times I was thinking of you. I wanted to meet you. Because he's got good taluk with my father. And I said, you know what? Subhanallah, Allah is so great. I just today, it was Tuesday. We came in Atikaf on Tuesday. Just Tuesday afternoon, after I dropped off my wife and my kids somewhere, I was coming back and I was coming through and I thought, no, it's going to be traffic through this. So I went through another street. And another street, I just saw Mawlana Ilyas, who's here from South Africa, one of our relatives, who stays with Mufti Ibrahim Saji, right? The Imam of 65 Masjid. So he stays with him there, and it's on Pave Street, and it's in downtown Toronto. So he was just standing there, and I just met him. I go, Salaam. And then he just, in the talk, he just goes, Mufti Habibur Rahman. He goes, he's here from day one? He goes, yeah, he goes, he came at the beginning of Ramadan. I go, oh, I didn't even know. I go, just today I'll go to, today. So after Isha, on that night, I went to meet him. And alhamdulillah, I got to sit with him. And alhamdulillah, he said many, many ajeeb stories too. He's about over 80 years old probably, 80, 90. You see how skinny he is. But he's the Grand Mufti. So I said, Allah, not even worthy, but you know him. And he accepted a hadiah from me too. So I said, not even worthy that he takes my hadiah. And alhamdulillah, this is, he's still the feeling towards akabir mashayikh. Alhamdulillah. And then the dua and tawajju. And my sheikh is my sheikh. He's everything to me. He's too great that I can't even, you know, even speak about him. Alhamdulillah. But what it is a person gets through the blessings of his elder, through the blessings of your parents. Your parents dua and this and that. Kimat of your parents. You know, person thinks now I'm big. I don't need my parents. Yeah, be always humble to your parents. Understand? Wallahi al-azim. My mom cries, and every time, you know, she was to listen to this and see this, all this, this and that, she cries. And she said one thing to me, and I never got to stay with my mother for a very long time. After I graduated, not even 1 year I stayed with my wife and my family in there. In 1 year I moved out from my mother. In 12 years without me, she said one thing to me one time, is that she said to me, "Ke beta, okay, we'll stay in Jannah together if we don't stay in the world together." I said, "Yeah, mom." And sometimes I remind her, "Mom, you say that I don't come, but remember that one thing you said. So if Allah is going to give you and me Jannah, we'll be in Jannah together. Otherwise you have to sacrifice me." Yeah. Alhamdulillah. But what it is, a person gets through his elders. This attitude, in our society, we learn what? You're independent.
A wife, she can do a case against her husband. A husband, in need of mother and father. Children, they're not needed. They teach you. 9/11, I mean, call 1-1. It is 9/11, 9-1-1, right? Call 9-1-1 and against your parents, oh my father, yeah, your father and your mother cared for you all your life and you complain to the authorities and they take you away, they put you with Christians. In the school, do they have any discipline? They walk all over, skateboard all over. The police can't even say anything. They have to be a police there every day in this high school here. Why? And ask uncle there and ask these uncles. Maybe at their time they probably had the cane in that in schools and they had proper adab and respect. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, we had seen Muslim students walking behind their Hindu teachers. And we have seen Hindu students walking in respect behind their Muslim teachers. Hazrat Shaykh says, this is about the teacher that they learn arithmetic, mathematics, and English and school things. So he said, you know, the respect of the teacher of Quran and Hadith at that time. He goes, Hazrat Shaykh said that we saw this stuff at our times. That people had respect for their teachers who learned Quran and Hadith. Alhamdulillah, when I was very young, my mother taught me that. My French teacher. You know, it's a very big thing, tarbiyat of your children. My French teacher, his name was Mr. Hunt. And this was before I even became baligh. O.M. McKillop Public School is still there in Richmond Hill. There was only one other Muslim family and us. My all friends were Greek, Italians, and Canadians. Sam, Andrew, and all these guys were Greeks and this. I didn't grow up with Muslims, understand? There was no masjid or nothing in Richmond Hill. Understand where I grew up. But alhamdulillah, my dad was in the work of Dawat and that, and Talim in the house. And parents were connected to Buzruks, both Baytu Hazrat Sheikh, one of them is Zakaria. My mommy and dad both were Baytu Hazrat Sheikh. So, alhamdulillah, we had Mahol in the house, but still. So, you know that Canadian attitude, you know, that takabur. So, I was a very mischievous student in my French class. I hated French. Now I regret it. So I used to do so much mischievous and I used to disturb the whole class. And our French teacher, Mr. Hunt, when he become crazy, he would take the ruler and he would bang it 20 times on the thing, full blast. You know those big rulers? And he said, you like noise? I'll show you noise. So one day, I was being very mischievous. So he grabbed me by the back of my hair like this. And I was chewing gum. And he took me back to the garbage can and made me spit it out. He made me spit it out and then back, and he had hair in his hands after he pulled it so hard. And I was how old? Under the age of 12 for sure, because at the age of 12, before I was mature, I went to Dawud and Buddy. Allah protected me, Allah saved me. This is my mother's sacrifice especially, and my dad, especially my mother. You know, both sons she sacrificed. She put a stone to her heart. And people said, this Muslim kids you're sending so far away. But she did. So when I got home, you know that Canadian attitude? Oh, my teacher hit me. Because nobody, that's not even imaginable in school. So a teacher pull your hair, you know, no matter what you do. And I, wallahi al-azim, I know in my heart I was mischievous and I was causing mischief in the class. I deserved full beatings. If it was my dad, oh, he would have murdered me. Right? That's how mischievous, it was French. I just thought French to be a joke. Now I regret it. Because the Imams of Da'ulum, Samir was telling me, Mawlana in Garsan Salam, all the Imams of Da'ulum were Reunionese. They were French speaking. Because French people, they have good makhraj. The people who know French, they have good makhraj. Tajweed is very easy for them. So now I regret it. I didn't. Mr. Hans, so what happened to this? She said, my mom, today you know what happened? My French teacher hit me. He didn't allow to hit in school. So mom goes, your French teacher hit you. So I thought, okay, now she's getting excited now. I can complain against my French teacher. So she goes, oh my Allah. She goes, Allah, wait till your dad comes. I'm going to tell him that your French teacher had to hit you. So you're so naughty that your teacher had to hit you. Because they don't hit in school. And he had to hit you. That means you're so naughty. Wait till your dad comes. He's going to break the stick on you. I said, no, don't tell dad. Please don't. She didn't tell dad. But she taught me. And she said to me, if you ever disrespect your teachers, you'll never get knowledge. You're not going to get French. You've been disrespecting. You've been mischievous. That's why. And in my heart, yes, I know exactly, mom. Exactly. That's exactly. Your son is no angel. This is exactly the way he is in French class. And he's a mischief maker. And this is what it is. So my mom taught me. She taught me from that age to respect of a French teacher. She taught me, forget, you know, calling child abuse. Yeah, teacher abuses the student. Where do you stand? You are mysterious. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, in Darul, when we got beaten, a Canadian, you know, when we get beaten, we get beaten, the food isn't good, we get the same food, the heating, this, now it's good. That's one of the Samir here, 5-star
you know, hotel food and everything. Everything is good now. In our time, 350 students, 4 baths. We used to line up for hours. Understand? We had to sit like this to eat because there's no carpet. We used to take off our shoes, not shoes, slippers, and stay in the slippers. And if you put your slipper in the masjid, many times some student would steal your slipper. If you're a pious student, you don't steal somebody else's. And if you're the same boat, you take somebody else's slippers. So you hurt the other one like the way he hurted you. So that's not right. But Barahab, this is the way we used to live in the Arlam. And then we have to wait. And then they'd give us food like this, and we'd be in a line, understand? Sitting like this. This is where we sit. Until when you're over 16, then they have carpet. Over 16, well, under 16, at that time. And now you might think, oh, this is, you know, very hardships. And now it's luxury. Everything's luxury. And imagine 4 baths and 350 students. So Barahab, and what was the great tarbiyat? Mom said this, okay, beta, you can call me, and you can call your dad, and you can call us when you want something from Canada. If you want this, you need money or anything. But don't say it's too cold or it's too hot. Don't say I don't like the food. Don't say I get beaten from the teachers or I get told off from the teachers. Don't say anything concerning your environment and your knowledge. Because with cold, with heat, with beatings, with telling off, with sacrifice, you're going to get knowledge. If you want anything from Canada, we'll try to get it to you. But don't say this. So me and my brother, even my brother was 10 years old, we never ever complained. In our hearts we were crying. That when do we get out of this jail? But never ever did we say, okay, mom, we don't like it here. Or mom, we get beaten. Mom, we don't have this and that. Everybody, beating is not they just beated you. My teacher was so lovely. If I see him today, I stand up, kiss his forehead. The one that taught me the first 12. He's not only a half, he's not even alim. Half is Muhammad, full of Sabdamat Barakatum. But why? His Muhammad. So we didn't get just beaten for no reason. The teacher wasn't fools. They know that they had to account to Allah. But meaning that in those days, like the way they had punishment in schools here, king, and that's when the students were students. Now, what student? Everything is modern technology. People don't even know much nowadays. If you look at uncle and these people, they're educated people. Today, people don't know much. They just have all this modern technology and all these fake degrees and get into this and this and that. And all you see, so the humanity that is doing zulm upon humanity is so much. There's not zulm has not been so widespread on the earth like the way it is today, and with this modern technology, so much zulm. Human is nothing. You know, we're talking about this. You know, right now, just my wife phoned me before Zuhur. I spoke to my wife. And she said, "Did you get the news that they're burning a Quran in Florida?" No. Nobody gave me the news. Monani Yahyasaf said to me before the Tahajjud time at night to make dua for it. I didn't understand so much. I thought he said they're banning the Quran, but they're burning the Quran. Uh-huh. Now what it is we're saying, "Wallahu a'lam," and that's true. We feel our iman, but how much do we even act upon the Quran? How much are we connected to the Quran? Inna Allah la yaqbizu al-'ilm bi qabzi intiza'. Allah does not take away knowledge just like this. Walakin yaqbizu al-'ilm bi qabzi al-'ulama. Allah takes away knowledge by taking away the ulama slowly, slowly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what respect do we even have to Quran? When does the Muslim ummah even read? And this is very serious. But I mean to say, it makes it even more because on 9/11 they're going to do it on Saturday. So on that day, when the time they're going to do it, our ulamas of South Africa, they've written and they've thing all around, okay, we should all be in the masjid, reading certain duas, reading certain things, reading the duas. We should be crying to Allah. Understand? This is, and as I was reading Jamali Muhammadi, all my sheikh's duas in that. It's just about this, the ummah, that the humanity has gone right under the level of humanity. We say we're humans, but they're doing totally things against what a human is. You know, nowhere in the world can two men marry 25 years ago. So all of a sudden, they became so tolerant. All of a sudden, it's so logic and so sense that two men could marry, two women could marry. Tomorrow, an outcry is going to come that I'm going to marry my sister because she grew up with me. What are we going to say then? Because it's going to think, and then they're going to pass a law. This is it. So everything which is good, it's evil. And everything which is evil is good. This is the fitna of the Dajjal. This is what we're coming to in this dunya right now. So it's what we have to do is cry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide the humanity. Allah, take away these zalims on the earth who are doing zulm upon humanity. I'm not saying just Muslim. Because then, you know, these things are recorded. And there's always spies everywhere. The spy, and they said the imam said this. He's instigating the youngsters to go against the government. No, we are true. Look, I always wear red and white. I'm a Canadian. It's a red and white flag too.
Understand? I'm more loyal Canadian. Rasulullah was loyal to Makkah. Rasulullah was very patriotic. Understand? So, not, that's not it. But we know. I'm not in saying that the government, that the humanity at large have gone under the level of humanity in disguise for showing humanity, but it really, they've gone really low. Now, I mean to say, burning the Quran, it's the media. They could have just done this very quietly, but why is it around the whole world? And then you have all these politicians saying, oh no, they shouldn't, this and that. But you know what? A time will come, they will call each other like the way a person calls. Come, 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 join the food, join the food, join us, join us. And this is the way they want to destroy Islam in that. But we read, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ لِلدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That Allah will do qalba of the deen. But remember, this is our aman. We're the ones the cause of this. If they're burning the Quran, it's us. It's us. Will Allah disgrace us? We read the hadith. Today, how many people are turning off Islam? So Allah is bringing new people. What qadr do we have the Quran? When do we read the Quran? When do we ponder over the Quran? When do we act upon the Quran? When do we act upon the Sunnah? Our houses, our ways of life. Way, this way. In the Quran and Sunnah is this way. We're going a different way to it. This is us. Understand? Over how many people are reading Salat? How many people are crying? This is it. But Alhamdulillah, at the end, I shouldn't say all how many. Because you know why? Our nisbat is we are the ummati of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Alhamdulillah, we have a great thing. So at the end of the day, we're the ummati of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our millions of brothers and sisters have been martyred for no reason. Their houses boulder down. The whole world could be crying, make big juluses, big marches all around downtown Toronto, London, everywhere. But the ones who are spreading evil, they're not going to budge. Understand? They won't. And they sit back getting their jollies. Let them march and let them make a hee-ha. But they can't do nothing to us. But you know what? Allah is in charge. Allah sees. And Allah knows what they're doing. Allah could do everything to anybody. Understand? They can destroy our brothers and sisters in Palestine, even the thing that they've took in the earth and this and that, and the way they're doing zulm, he's gone down. And in Bosnia, the ethnic cleansing that they've done in Albania, our ustaz has a Mawlana Bilal, he's the last Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria, 105th Khalifa. We studied Nasai Sharif. And Alhamdulillah, I used to make him tea. And then he used to talk about my tea in class too. Alhamdulillah, praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We used to buy milk for 22p. And one bottle of milk you can buy. And Alhamdulillah, I used to spend that milk on my teachers. Understand? Tea. All praises for Allah. So this is why, if today people do kimmat, Alhamdulillah, all my teachers were talking about Mawlana Ibrahim Badat. I said he left. Allah used to cut his hair and that. Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah. Is that their shafqat that they let me do their kimmat? Otherwise, I wasn't even worthy of it. But Bahal, Mawlana Bilal said, and he used to actually do construction work in Dalumbari. The last Khalifa was a Shaykh Ramzibadu. Right? And Allah, you know, there's one person who came and gave him a car of his Ferrari keys. There, take it. He said, then he got rid of it. Understand? So this is the last Khalifa. So when he went to Albania and left, afterwards, he got into depression. He could not teach. The zulm that they done on the Muslims there. The zulms, ethnic cleaning. If you hear the stories, sometimes if you hear Sheikh Riyaz al-Haq's thing, the way that they raped our sisters and our mothers, Allahu Akbar. In the time of the Sahaba, not one Muslim could be touched upon. But millions of our mothers and sisters and daughters are being raped. What can we do? What can we do? Yes, we can cry to Allah, that's it. But how weak have we become? Why? We've become weak. Because our connection, the majority of the ummah's connection is not with Allah. But inshallah, those وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. They were only given this torture because they said, we believe in Allah. So inshallah they died as shaheed. Understand? They died as shaheed. So once my shaykh, when he says that, he goes, Riyas, so what's happening to the brothers and sisters in Palestine? We ask them. Then, we ask UN, we ask the governments, We ask them. Then at the end, we ask Allah. Allah, what's happening to them? Then he's going to, somebody's going to say, look, has one on Yusuf, my shaykh. He said, oh, it's kufr to ask Allah, what's going on? What's going on? Then Allah says to us, that they asked for shahadat. They asked for martyrdom. I've given it to them. So, Alhamdulillah, content. So, this is a Muslim, if you like that. But our
you know, the Muslim blood has been shedded. If we go back into the ethnic cleaning that they've done in Europe, just against the Muslims. And if we were to see, they made ditches, and what they done to the Muslim male, and what they used to do to the female, if they were pregnant, they would take a knife and thing it, and then they would make them pregnant, that they give birth to our children. This is what they done to our sisters and mothers. And that. This is what has happened to the Muslim Ummah. Understand? In the time of the Sahaba, Umar ibn Khattab, one sister, one mother, a person could not even look like this at her. Forget touching her. But where have I come? So Sayyid of the Ummah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But even then, now we have some hours left, maybe we might even have a day, if we see the moon. You know, it's going to be 8 nights, it's a big night. Make dua, cry, Allah, straighten us. It's really indeed, if the Quran is being burnt, Allah, it is us. We put the Quran behind our backs and lean on the Quran. Understand? We are Allah. Please don't deprive us. For we're the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have this nisbah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillah. And make special dua, because Maulana Yahya Sahib said in the thing, in his bayan, he said, so like a person thinks, well, it'll be lighter. But no, more fitna. Person's going to wake up as a believer, sleep as a This is it. This is the dunya. And this is happening. Even us, do you guys think that every single time I think of my iman and my children's iman, I think of I can fall into this sin, but forget, the greatest sin I can fall into is that Allah can take me off iman. I feel that. Because this is the halat we are. That 10 days, if we stayed in 10 days at the kaf, we were totally free from all that pollution out there. And then some of us didn't even listen to news one day. We didn't even know what was going on. You know, but this is the halat of the ummah. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, so the whole world knows that on Saturday at 6 o'clock in Florida, they're going to burn the Quran. The whole world knows. And then our South African ulamas, they said at that time, they even said what time it's going to be in South Africa. It's going to be 12 o'clock in South Africa. So they're saying everybody should turn to Allah, go to the masjid, cry to Allah. It is our a'mal. Understand? What did Abdul Muttalib say? He said, those camels belong to me. Pass me my camels. He said, so you're not worried about the house of Allah? You're worried? Yes, those camels belong to me. That house has a master over it. His master will take care of the house. That's what he said to Abraha's army. Understand? I have no concern with the house. They all went back and just made dua on the mountainside, hillside. Rasulullah's mother too. Understand? And then Allah destroyed those people who just wanted to destroy the house of Allah. Understand? I was saying yesterday, that brother said, I said we have 20 rakats in Makkah and Medina. Maybe we may not see 20 rakats after 10, 15 years. It might become 8 rakats. And maybe slowly, slowly, then they might just say, forget the Ravi altogether. You know why? This is one way of protection of the Quran. You know, it's such evil influence. You know, we don't know what's Allah show us the truth and enable us to act upon the truth. But it's a time to cry. It's a time to cry for every, you know, every night. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah woke us up. Right now we've been waking up 2:30, right? Early in the morning. So we have a habit of waking up. So I'm not saying to wake up at 2:30, but we can every day wake up at what time? The Fajr time starts at 5:20, 5:30, according to the one timetable, right? Then we can wake up even 4:45 minutes. Read 4 rakats, 2 rakats, tahajjud, do istighfar, cry. So if there's more eyes crying for the ummah, there'll be benefit, inshallah. Understand? Also the 6th fast of the month of Shawwal. Man sama Ramadan thumma tawassitam in Shawwal. A person who fasts in the month of Ramadan and then he fasts 6 days of Shawwal, it's like he fasted throughout his life. Why? Because 30 days times 10 equals how much? 300. And then when you fast 6 days, that equals 60. So 360 days is like you fast. So you don't have to fast straight away. Obviously you can't fast on Eid day, Shawwal the first. But you can fast maybe in the same week. What I do is I fast in the week when it's Ayyam Ibi, it's the 13, 14, 15. It's also Monday and Thursday, so all 6 days. Understand? So, and also, Nafil fast. Try to have a habit of fasting on Mondays and Thursdays and Ayyam Ibi. Try to do some ibadat. Whenever we feel proud on ibadat. Our ibadat, Allah, forget it. We cannot pay you back for your favors. But how can it? We can't even equal our sins with our ibadat. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, the 3 types of courts on the Day of Judgment. There'll be one court, the ni'mats of Allah upon you. And then there'll be one court of your sins. And then one court of your ibadat. He said, the your sin and your your sins and your ibadat. So he said, very rare that anybody's ibadat is going to be greater than his sins. Forget the ni'mat. Forget the ni'mat. If Allah is to say, then now thank me for this ni'mat. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Once Rasulullah ﷺ, at the time of afternoon nap, very hungry, siesta time. The Arabs, they sleep in the afternoon, khairullah. Rasulullah ﷺ, sometimes when a person is very hungry, he cannot sleep. So Rasulullah ﷺ is out of his house. On the way, he sees his beloved Siddiq Akbar. Ya Siddiq, what's wrong? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, after seeing you, nothing's wrong. He didn't want to complain, because if I tell my beloved I'm hungry, he's going to ache. Rasulullah would ache if somebody got a prick in him. So if I say to my beloved, Ya Rasulullah, I haven't eaten food for days, Rasulullah is going to be aching. Rasulullah hasn't ate, so he's so hungry too. But if Siddiq Akbar tells him, so Siddiq Akbar said, Ya Rasulullah, after seeing you, I'm alright, nothing. Yeah. Umar al-Khattab, his love too. They said, Ya Rasulullah. So it's from the same thing. So they all go to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala's house. They all go to Abu Ayyub Ansari's house. So Abu Ayyub, the three greatest persons on the earth comes to my house today. Rasulullah and Siddiq Akbar Farooq Adam. Oh, what guest do I have? So quickly. So he was out, and then when he comes in, so he quickly goes and grabs the dates, some ripe ones, some unripe ones, and brings them out quickly, presented to the beloved. Rasulullah and Siddiq Akbar. So Rasulullah said, you should have got the ripe ones. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, some people like unripe ones. So if you like the unripe ones, take them. And if you like the ripe ones, eat them. But whatever you just think. And says in some narration that Rasulullah, yes. And then he quickly told his wife, you start making the bread and that. And he sacrificed a goat and quickly they started preparing it. And then Rasulullah, in one narration, says that he said, go take this some to Fatima's house for days, she hasn't taken food. Hassan and Hussein hasn't had food. Ali, his son-in-law, didn't have food for days. Take that also to my Fatima. And then Rasulullah with tears in his eyes, he said, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Indeed, on the day of judgment, you will be asked about this man. Siddiq Akbar starts crying. Umar ibn al-Khattab starts crying. Ya Rasulullah, days and ends, we haven't had food. And even this we're going to be asked about? And after days of hunger, we got, and then Allah's going to say, remember I fed you. They started crying too. Then Rasulullah is one person who starts with Bismillah. And then he says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi huwa ashba'an wa an'ama alayna wa afdala. And inshallah, that food that he ate, Allah will not ask him. Understand? So, Alhamdulillah, alladhi huwa ashba'an wa an'ama alayna wa afdala. There are many du'as after eating, but this du'a. So this, imagine, and we're loaded. Just the amount of days that we have and the food we have is loaded. But Rasulullah is Siddiq Akbar. And then Siddiq Akbar and Umar Khattab, Rasulullah is crying. So we have no chance if Allah was to say, the eyes I give you, how do you think? So even if we worship all night, we've done nothing compared to our sins. We've done nothing compared. So never let the shaitan or your nafs tell you that you've become a great worshipper. Because then, that's exactly what happened to Iblis. Understand? The Sahabas used to cry after worship. Understand? Rasulullah, after saying, what did he do after salam? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, astaghfirullah, 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 allahumma bi salam. Three times he istighfar. After ibadat. And Rasulullah's salat was perfection. But istighfar. Understand? So we need to do istighfar. Even the last, what etiquah did we do? What worship did we do? Allah, whatever we done is you enable us to do. Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana li hadha. All praises for you that you guided us to this. Whatever good we done, Allah is from you. Allah, if you didn't. So a person is nothing. He's abdiyat. And this is what Allah likes. Allah likes those tears. Allah likes that heart that cries. If we're not, we say our silsilah chishtiya, they say the galba, that it should be dominant upon a chishti, that he is a crier. Has a shaykh non-stop cry. Any expression that is crying. If we don't cry, Allah give us a heart that cries. If you don't have a heart that cries, you're severe, you're hard. So make dua to Allah, that Allah make us cry. Make dua that we can cry. Sit down and cry. Some people never could cry. Some people, if I just say something, they start crying. Understand? I just do their islah and they start crying. Alhamdulillah, that's good. All praises for Allah. When I was 14 years old, my ustad would give nasihat, Hafiz Muhammad was full of self, and tears would be rolling down my eyes. And my ustad's dua in tawajju. Understand? Because I saw my mom when I was a young child. I saw her in the corner of the house. She used to cry. And I said, Mommy, what happened? You got hurt? Mommy, what happened? Why are you crying like a baby? Understand? What would she be doing? She would be doing i'tikaf in Ramadan in the last 10 days. So I was seeing her in the corner of the house crying. I was a little kid. So
7, 8, 9 years old. So I said, "Mom, what are you crying? What happened? You got hurt?" So, you know, tears were coming. And I didn't know. I just thought this, "Oh, Mom, my mom is crying. What is she crying for? What do you think? Why does a child cry? He gets hurt or something, you know, or something he didn't get. So why is my mom crying? Like, maybe crying to see." I remember my dad's dirbs, illallah, illallah, waking me up at night. So it has effect. That's not all these things. So alhamdulillah, from the age of 12, in the sohbet of my uncle, Muhammad himself, growing up, so it has effect. So effect, when you go out in the path of Allah for 40 days, 40 months, I mean 4 months, how much effect it has. Then when a person goes home, this is why they say the 5 a'mal. Yesterday Shibli came, and he's finishing his last day. Alhamdulillah, he was in Hazrat's majlis in Darulum Bari. He was there just 5 days ago. He was in Darulum, in front of Hazrat, alhamdulillah. Shibli, he's in one of Mazar Alam's Darulum in Cornwall here. So he came back for 40 days. So then I was telling him, you know, the 5 a'mal. Stick to the 5 a'mal, because when we go, you know, so even this now, alhamdulillah, we woke up at what time? 2:30. And we stood for 3 paras. So now we have to go to work, we have to go to school, we have to do other things. But I'm not saying to wake up at 2:30. I'm not saying to wake up at 3:30. I'm not even saying to wake up at 4:30. I'm saying to wake up at 4:50. Yeah, 5 o'clock. Quickly do istinja wazu and pray 2 or 4 rakats and start crying and making dua. Keep it until the time changes or until Allah keeps you. Keep going, keep going. Read some Quran. Understand? Every day. And it will even help you to fast, because then sahri time. Understand? So stick to that. Understand? Stick to it. Allah is istiqamat. Steadfastness is the main thing. And that is the hardest. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, Surah Hud and its sisters have made my hair white. In the dream, what? So this ayat. Look at what Rasulullah is saying. This ayat has whitened my hair. Fastaqim kama umirta. Rasulullah is commanding in the Quran in Surah Hud. Stay steadfast as you are commanded. Rasulullah is saying this has made my hair white. It's hard to stay steadfast. We don't even know if we're going to stay on iman. Even Rasulullah said, so steadfastness. Whatever we do, Allah, give us steadfastness. Give us ikhlas, give us steadfastness. Allah, if you just love one thing and you accept it, alhamdulillah. People say to us, people say, oh, you're Qiyamul Layl, this and that, your dua, you're this. The other day, somebody's father came and he said, oh, I heard much about you and this and that. Alhamdulillah, his barakah of that. Then, alhamdulillah, if somebody says something like that, that makes you think, what barakats, what this? It's all show, it's all name. It's only up there. How do I know that Allah's even accepted? This is it. Because Allah's concealed. Allah's concealed. And this is the way Allah will do even up there too. We have high expectations of Allah. Allah, like the way you have concealed your sattar here, inshallah, over there you'll be a sattar to Allah. Allah. Otherwise my children, my wife, they won't even think me worthy of spitting on. Mawlana Islam al-Aqsab or Ustaz, Allah enlighten his grave. He's buried in Medina. He died on yesterday night in Medina. Meaning on the 28th of Ramzan al-Mubarak, he died in Medina Munawwarah. He passed away. He wanted Medina Munawwarah, so he got Medina Munawwarah. He used to say, he said that we are like this, that if Allah exposes our sin, then even our children will not even think that this father of mine, I can even spit on him, because my spit is even better than him. That's how evil we are. For Allah's hidden our sins. Allah's hidden our sins. To Allah keep this. Allah accept what we're doing. We don't know who's accepting. You know, acceptance. That's it. Allah, please accept from us. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Ismail salatu salam. Ibrahim salatu salam. Allah commanded them to make Baytullah. And after making Baytullah, they didn't say, Allah, look, here we made it. Now what do we do? But what are they crying at? Allah accept. That we made it, but accepted Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Allah accept. So Allah accept our itikaf. Allah give us istiqamah. Allah accept. So now these couple of hours that are left, how do we spend them? Try to cry much as you can. You know, try to cry much as you can. Because when a person cries, that shows inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it acceptance. After crying, you know, crying, Allah give us. And Allah give us ikhlas. Allah accept us all. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
It's 670.
Alhamdulillah. Put it in there. Put it in the office. So if Eid is tomorrow, then after Maghrib, we'll do a little bit of Qasida Ibrudah, because it'll be Friday night, so Durushi will do Qasida after Maghrib, After Maghrib, yeah, after Taraweeh tonight. No, what happened if the moon is sighted then? Because if it's tomorrow, and tomorrow straight after Maghrib, everybody will probably dispatch home. So before us, everybody will get ready. But remember, Eid night is a very big night. So make sure you worship on that night. Everybody has a habit of waking up at 2:30, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Even the ones who woke up at 4 o'clock. So we have a habit of waking up early. So stay with that habit. Don't change it. Even if you have to take a Faraz Ghusl, it's a Friday. Understand? You can wake up early. Understand? So even then, make sure you wake up and read the Tahajjud, because it's a big night. Read Salatul Tasbih. Some of us haven't read Salatul Tasbih in this 10 days. At least once we should have read it in this month. If not, we should have read it every day. If not every day, at least once in this month, read Salatul Tasbih. If you don't know, we have it in Fazail al-Dhikr. And the chapter in the last, at the end of Fadal Dhikr, the Shaykh has written the narrations on Salatul Tasbih. So at least read Salatul Tasbih too. Understand? If you haven't read Salatul Tasbih, read Salatul Tasbih once, inshallah.